speak, but the Radisha had nothing to say. The protector mused, "I wonder who it could be. I knew the wizards of old. Neither one has the ambition or imagination or drive, even though both do have the hardness." The Radisha made a squeak of sound.
"The wizards?"
"The two little men. The day and night pair. They aren't much of anything but lucky."
"They survived?"
"I said they're lucky. Do you recall anyone who didn't go onto the plane who looked like a potential leader?"
"I don't."
"I thought all those people were dead."
"As did I, in most cases. Our great general claims to have seen most of their bodies personally, but the great general identified them assuming that the two wizards had been killed first." Here I had begun to be suspicious of him. Perhaps his only crime is that he's a fool. "Can you think of anyone?"
"Not inside the company I knew.
But there was a Nyungbo who had something to do with the standard bearer's wife. A priest of some sort. He seemed to be totally obsessed with weapons and the martial arts. I ran into him only a few times, and he's never been accounted for in any reports."
"A master of the path of the sword?"
"That would explain a lot. But I killed them all when I..."
"Have you noticed how people keep turning up alive when there's every reason to believe that they're dead?" An actual smile tried to gnaw its way out of the Radish's mouth. The woman talking could be considered the mother of all those whose death had been celebrated prematurely.
"There's sorcery afoot. Nothing should be any great surprise."
"You're right. You're absolutely right. And that's a blade that can have more than one edge." Soulcatcher rose to leave. Her voice changed, became cruel.
"More than one edge. A master of the path of the sword. It's been a long time since I visited those people. They may be able to tell me something useful."
She stalked out of the room. The Radisha remained motionless for several minutes, clearly troubled. Then she got up and went to her anger chamber. She settled herself there. The unseen spy went after the protector. She, he discovered, had gone directly to the ramparts. She assembled her small, single-rider carpet, all the while arguing with herself in a dozen querulous voices. He barely listened. He was too surprised and shocked. There was a white crow up there. It was watching the protector, who remained unaware of Mergen's presence. Although, historically, she had been more sensitive to him than to any of the living except her sister. But the bird had no trouble seeing Mergen. It examined him with first one eye, then with the other, then it winked deliberately. And then it launched itself into the night when the protector's rookery took flight to accompany her on her travels.
"But I am the White Crow."
The disorientation was brief, but as frightening as it had been years ago, when first Mergen had started stumbling around outside his flesh. Chapter 31